Tonight we're going to look at a verse at the end of 1 Peter chapter 5 there. Very short verse, has a familiar ring probably to you. That's verse 14. Greet you one another with a kiss of charity. Peace be with you all that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Lord, we ask your blessing on this word as we look to you for direction and guidance in how we might be faithful to love one another, Father, and be kind to one another and as we're called to in Scripture. Teach us, Lord, how we might greet one another and do so with a kiss of love. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. We come to the last chapter of the book of 1 Peter. We see as we try and fit this verse into the context that leads up to it, that these are the last remaining words of encouragement of Peter as he writes this letter. The book was written to strengthen the saints and to encourage them to endure persecution that they were facing and to do so with joy, verses 12 to 15. But this letter ends with a postscript, a P.S. at the very end of it. And I was thinking of the Beatles song, P.S. I Love You. It's P.S. is the end of a letter. For those of you who have never written a letter in your life, it's the end of a letter, P.S., and usually includes words of affection that are put at the very end of a letter. He wanted them to not only hear his affection for them, as we're going to see in this verse, he wanted them to feel the affection that he had for them as he writes the closing words of this letter. He introduces this P.S. with an introduction of a man by the name of Silvanus, who more than likely is the same as Silas that we read about in Acts 15:32, who is listed as a prophet of God. But also, as we see here, he's a faithful minister. He's a faithful servant. He's the kind of guy that's always there and always willing to help. He ministered and helped Paul, and now he's helping Peter by more than likely being his secretary. He's transcribing this letter as Peter is dictating under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And his purpose in writing this letter was to write a letter to encourage the saints to endure persecution with joy. Verse 12, he writes, by Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein you stand. And then in verse 13, we see that he's sending them a greeting from a sister church. The author, I says, the church, but literally, most of your translations might say she, but literally, it's the one in the feminine, the one that is at Babylon, elected together with you, salutes you, and so does Marcus, my son. And so we have here the one, the female one, she, we're going to see is a church, that is at Babylon, the elected together, the co-elect, they salute you, or they greet you. Who is the she? The co-elect. Who is the co-elect? A church. Who is the church? The church is at Babylon. What does that mean? The church was at Babylon. Is it literally in Babylon, or is this code for another city, perhaps, where this is being written? It could be the Babylon of Chaldea. There were a lot of Jews there, and this could well be the city from which Peter is writing, and it could be because he is the apostle to the Jews that this would be the church from which he's writing this. This is Matthew Poole's belief. But it also could be code language for another city other than Babylon. It could be a code language for the city of Rome. We can't be dogmatic as to where he was exactly writing this from. But perhaps to protect the identity of the Romans. Perhaps Paul was doing like we do today. We have missionaries over in China who never tell us where they are or use the right city name. They use code words to let us know that they're in some city in Asia, rather than saying exactly the city that they're located or what country even they're located in. But we do know, for example, that John used in Revelation 16, he would refer to Babylon as it would be a reference to Rome. And so this could be a similar reference as well. Wherever this letter was written, we know this, that Paul is saying the church, the co-elect who are here at the city that I'm writing to you from, they salute you, they greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is something that we do as a church. I know when Tim or Doug and I were traveling around, and last month was in New York at a conference there speaking. At the beginning of the conference, I stood up to everyone and just said basically the church at Powell, Wyoming, greet you. In other words, the fellow brothers and sisters in Christ back in Powell, they send their greetings to you here in the Catskills. And so wherever you go, you'll find Christians. And wherever you find Christians, there's a unity that we have in Christ. We have an inward affection for one another, and we want to share that inward affection that we have for brothers and sisters in Christ. I don't know if you realize that we're close with people we've never met who are Christians in other states, in other countries, in other cities. And when you meet them, you've never met them before, you sense this connection from the very beginning. And the connection has to do with we're brothers and sisters. We have the same spirit as we saw this morning. So we have unity there. But here we also have something else that draws us together, and that is we are co-elect. We are chosen before the foundation of the world by God. And you were chosen, I'm chosen, we have something in common, and therefore we have a bond of love with one another. See, you can belong to the same club and not feel a sense of closeness, brotherly love like you have in Christ. I was thinking, for example, you could be a member of the NRA, and you could travel around the country and find a bumper sticker in Nebraska of somebody living there that belongs to the NRA, and you might stop them and say, "Hey, listen, how you doing? Good to see another NRA guy we feel close." So there is that superficial closeness we can feel by relationships. But what's much deeper is if you're co-elect, if you have the same spirit, if you're brothers and sisters in Christ, there's an affection that you have, more than just friendship. You have an affection for one another. In the 1689, our confession, under the subject of the universal church, we read, "The Catholic or universal church according to the eternal, the whole number of God's elect." It's the church of Jesus Christ. So our unity goes pretty deep with brothers and sisters that are co-elect in Powell, co-elect in Wyoming, co-elect in California, co-elect in Mexico, co-elect in China. Wherever you go around the world, you're going to find an affection for God's people. And also he adds that not only does the church greet you, he says the Mark also sends his greetings too. And more than likely this is John Mark. This is the John Mark whose mother had the church over to her house for a prayer meeting. This is the John Mark that was the helper of Paul on his first missionary journey. And this is the John Mark that bailed out and it was a missionary washout. We know about that in Acts 13. This is the John Mark that was restored to fellowship by Barnabas and now made profitable to Paul in Colossians 4:10. Now he's a blessing to the Apostle Paul. Now he's a co-worker with Peter. And he's extending his greetings, because he's with Peter, he's extending his greetings, his personal greetings, to the church that Peter's writing to. And I believe we can learn a quick lesson from Mark here, because these are individual greetings from individuals to a group of people or individual Christians. How much more should we be like a John Mark and be willing to greet one another individually in other places? A note that you might send off individually to a missionary, or a note you might send off individually to someone who's sick, or writing a card, or calling on the phone, or text mailing, or emailing, or whatever it is. It's a way of communicating personal affections to others as was John Mark sending his. But now we come to the main point that we want to look at here in verse 14, and that is our study that we're going through on the one another's. Here Peter tells us to greet one another with a kiss of love. It's interesting because we listed this as we were organizing this particular one another in conjunction with the fruit of the Spirit under being kind to one another. And it includes that, but the more I was preparing and thinking about it, this is really more of an expression of love. So loving one another as well. So it really ties in well with loving one another. But he says, I want you to greet one another. So Paul's saying, I'm greeting you and telling you my love. Now take my greeting and share it with one another. And I want this greeting to be more than just words. Greet each other, the greeting I'm giving you, greet each other with what? A kiss of love. Share my love from my heart mutually with one another in your church. And do so with a kiss of love. There's a physical display of the affection of Peter he's asking for the church there that he's writing to, that they would express their love with a physical display of warm brotherly love, a kiss of love. Now, in other places in the New Testament, we see at least four times it's mentioned that it's referred to not as a kiss of love, but what? A holy kiss. Yeah, a holy kiss is mentioned by Paul in Romans 16, 1 Corinthians 16, 2 Corinthians 13, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Paul refers to a holy kiss. And I believe we're talking about the same thing with a different focus or a different emphasis. You know, the cultural context of this is that was a common greeting. Like we would shake hands today, you would come up and you would kiss one another on the cheek. A man would kiss a man, a woman would kiss a woman, and you would kiss each other on the cheek. And our Lord, we see that was betrayed by Judas, and what makes it so heinous was that here Judas was coming to show an expression of love and affection, and he turned that into betrayal as he kissed our Lord on the cheek. As the church was scattered abroad, it would gather on the Lord's Day, and then on the Lord's Day they began to incorporate in the worship service itself a time where the church would show their affection to one another through a holy kiss. So the church would not only just say, we love you and we love each other, but also they would kiss each other as part of the early worship of the church. For example, Justin Martyr in the second century liturgy, it says here that at the conclusion of the prayer, we greet one another with a kiss followed by the breaking of the bread. And so it oftentimes would precede the First Corinthians admonitions about taking the Lord's Supper, about forgiving one another and coming together in unity and love. And they would express that before they would break the bread and drink the cup by showing their love for one another through a kiss. Augustine writes and says that when Christians were about to communicate, that is to receive the bread and drink the cup, they demonstrated their inward peace by the outward kiss. It was usually given after the catechumens had been dismissed and when only the members of the church were present. And after the prayer, before the elements were brought in, they would exchange a holy kiss with one another. This seems to be the regular principle of worship, Tim, that there's kissing going on during right before the Lord's Supper. The way of reconciling is this greeting from a kiss with one another is it's called a holy kiss rather than just a kiss. Now, Paul thought it was important to add to this a descriptive, a holy kiss, because you can see where such a practice would be open to a lot of abuse in the church. Because this was not meant to be a romantic kiss or a passionate kiss as you greet one another. It was to be an affectionate greeting in brotherly love, but it was to be a holy kiss. That is a kiss that would be acceptable to the Lord, that would be honoring to God, that it would be from a holy motive, not ulterior motives. And we read how, for example, it was abused in the early church, this holy kiss. Tertullian writes of the natural reluctance of the heathen husband. So can you imagine this, where you have an unbelieving husband, a wife coming to church, and as she comes to church, the men of the church are kissing her. And you can see how that might stir up some animosity, some jealousy, and probably even some contention. Matthew Henry writes on this passage, he says, "The mutual salutations, as they express love, so they increase and strengthen love and endear Christians one to another. Therefore, Paul here encourages the use of them and only directs that they be used in a holy or chaste way. It's a chaste kiss in opposition to a wanton and lascivious kiss. It's a sincere kiss in opposition to that which is treacherous or disassembling." Now, the practice continued in the church all the way up to about the 13th century of incorporating in the various churches expressions of kissing as part of the worship service prior to communion. But it began to fade out, and probably because of some of the abuses that I just read about. In the church in the West, these inevitable, we're talking about the Roman Catholic Church now, as we approach the 13th century, brought problems to the church, and the custom began to fade out. And by the apostolic constitutions in the 4th century, the kiss is confined to the same sex within the church. So men could kiss men, women could kiss women, but after the 4th century, there was no men kissing women and women kissing men. In this form, the kiss of peace lasted in the church in the West until the 13th century. Sometimes substitutes were introduced. So what they did is they actually said, okay, well, we can't kiss one another anymore in the church, so I'll have a picture of Jesus or an emblem of Jesus. I'll kiss that and give it to this young lady right here, and then she can kiss it as well. And so we're kind of vicariously kissing one another through a picture or a crucifixion. First, sometimes it was first kissed by the priest and then passed to the congregation. Then each kissed it on and handed it on to the next person in the congregation in token of their mutual love for Christ and for one another. Now, culturally, the exchange of kissing as a way of greeting one another continues really outside the church. It's a part of the culture of parts of Europe, parts of the Mideast. For example, I don't know if you were able to watch President Macron come over from France, and I think he gave a speech, and then the President Trump gave a speech. Then after they were all done giving their speeches, what did they do? They kissed each other. And so Macron kissed Trump on the left and the right cheek, and Trump reciprocated, and same with the wives, kissing one another. This is be the common way of expressing affection for one another in France. I know when Mary and I were in Milan, Italy, this was the way the church communicated their affection for one another, was through kissing on the cheeks. And so the men would come up and greet you warmly with an embrace, and we'd kiss on the left cheek and the right cheek. And actually, it wasn't a kiss where the lips touched the cheek as much as it was the cheeks touched the cheeks, and the kiss was kind of off into the air, which I felt much more comfortable with. What a cultural shift it was to go from there and then go up to England, where no one has any affection at all for anybody else. And, I mean, there's no kissing and very little handshaking. I mean, it was just, everything's like 6 feet apart from one another. And so it's a totally different culture. So it's not part of our culture for men to kiss men. It's not part of our culture for women to kiss women. Although it seems like it's becoming more of that, isn't it? I'm thinking about it as I speak. But on the other hand, many of you can say amen. You know, aren't we glad? We're guys, we don't kiss each other, and gals, they don't kiss each other as well. But we do have in our culture expressions that involve physical displays of affection to one another, men to men and women to women. One of them is the what? Very common in our culture would be the shaking of hands. This is something that would be, it's more than just saying, hi, how are you? It's coming up into a person's space and grabbing someone's hand and warmly shaking their hand as a greeting and showing your attention, your affection for them. Here Peter is saying, he's exhorting them to actually greet all the saints that are in the church. He's not saying just greet your friends in the church. He's saying greet everybody. Get out of your comfort zone and go out and extend yourself to one another and show your affection for one another with a kiss of love. For some today, that might mean go out and shake the hands of those that God brings into the church, brothers and sisters in Christ that are here. Some of you might feel you have a greater liberty to hug one another and for a man to hug a man. And you've all known those guys that are bear huggers, and they come up and they give you a nice warm hug. And well, I've always found it to be a blessing when someone extends themselves and gives you a warm hug. Here's the key. The key is to greet each other, to express your love for one another and your closeness to one another, and extend yourself physically in some realm that's culturally adaptable to express that love, whether it's a handshake, whether it's a hug. In some cultures, it might be a kiss. And to greet everyone in the church, because we're to love everyone in the church. And for that, I would tell us to look for people who are discouraged in the church and greet them. You know, if you have sensitive eyes and you begin to look around after church, out in the foyer, if you begin to look around in the fellowship hall, and you begin to see people who are leaning against the wall, by themselves, isolated, not talking to anyone, that's a person that we should go up and greet. It could be that look for the person who's discouraged. You look on their face and you see someone who is expressing discouragement. Things aren't apparently going well. The person standing alone. Look for the visitor that's here for the first time, that's walked in. They wonder if they're invisible because no one's greeted them as they come into the church. Look for the person who always gets here late and leaves early because they don't want to greet you. That person especially needs to be greeted in the Church of Jesus Christ. Grab a hand, give a hug, show an expression of affection for one another. Now, I can say this because we're at the end of the flu season. And, I don't know if I've been quite as adamant about this maybe a month or so ago, because there was a lot of flu going around, and the last thing I personally wanted to do was to go up and shake your hand. I read about pastors back during the plagues and how they would go into homes and pray with families, knowing more than likely they were going to come down with whatever it is they had and they would die, but they were showing their love and greeting one another and showing their affection for one another. How much more should we be willing to risk maybe even getting the flu? Did you know the greatest way to get the flu is through touching someone and touching hands? This is probably one of the most... In fact, I read an article by Dr. Mark Gendreau. He's the chief medical officer for the Beverly and Addison Gilbert Hospitals in Massachusetts. He says this. He says, a fact that a lot of people get shocked about is that 80% of all colds, flu, and upper respiratory infections and diarrheal illness are passed along by your hands. That's the handshake. And so the handshake, with the handshake goes the flu. Now that's why one of the best friends of fellowship in the church is Germex. You know, it's why we keep a lot of these around the church. So you can shake hands with people and immediately, you know, don't be too obvious about it, but, you know, grab it. You know, we joke at home, but when I go home, the first thing I do is wash my hands, and I always joke and say, I've got to wash the fellowship off of my hands. And those are ways that we can kind of protect ourselves and show some wisdom as we greet one another. But I would encourage you to warmly greet. If you love the brethren, greet the brethren. If you love everybody, greet everybody. And for many of us, what that means is we do have to jump out of our comfort zone, and we have to go out and feel uncomfortable and do what God wants us to do, even though we might not feel like doing it. And that is going to people we don't feel comfortable around and greeting them and welcoming them and saying how important they are to you in your Christian life. and to do so with love and sincerity. There's nothing worse than for there to be an artificial greeting and a plastic smile. It has to be sincere, and it has to be from the heart. And you look for the person that no one's talking to. You look for the person up against the wall, as I said, who knows all alone, and they can't retreat any farther. Their back's against the wall, so they have no place to go as you go up and greet them. And look for visitors to greet as well. And to greet them with a holy kiss. And by that I mean take whatever physical expression of greeting that's culturally acceptable here today in America and use it as your holy way of expressing your love or your concern for one another. That could be the hug. It could be the handshake. It could be I was wondering if this is caught on yet. Maybe a holy fist bump. I don't know if that's caught on yet in the churches or not. But I did read that when the flu season is going around and people aren't shaking hands, there is something called a librarian's elbow bump. Have you heard about that? And the librarians started this. I believe it was over in South Africa, but it's caught on around the world. And then as they just come up and just kind of bump each other's elbow because they don't want to actually shake hands during the flu season. Or in Africa, it was Ebola that was going around. There's no set way of doing this. The key is do it. And do it from a heart of affection and concern. Feel the affection for one another and express the affection of one another by, in a culturally accepted way, touching and embracing one another. Now, as I was writing this, I was thinking about those churches that I had visited in the past where in their setting it was appropriate for the guy up front to say, you know what? Let's all stop right now and stand up right in our seats and let's greet one another. And so right in the middle of the worship service, everybody gets up and they're walking around and shaking hands and this commotion going on. And then everyone settles back into their seat and then the worship service continues. And I was asking myself, well, in light of the early church history, in light of the admonition here that we're to greet one another with a holy kiss, whether or not this, in fact, should be part of the regular principle of worship. Should we incorporate into our worship a time of mutually greeting one another? And you could see where someone could build a case for this. But myself, I believe this chaotic interjection into a worship service would not be the appropriate setting for expressing our affection for one another. I mean, it's good to greet one another. We greet before church. It's good to greet one another. We greet each other after church. But when we gather corporately in this room to worship God and through the Lord Jesus Christ, we're doing so with a heart of Him receiving the attention and Him receiving all the focus of our love and affection. And we don't break it all up by then going around and just chaotically greeting one another in the church. In fact, I've always found this as a side note, kind of canned and contrived. I don't know about you, but I mean, it's like an artificial way of greet each other. Okay, if I got to greet you, I'll greet you. That's a lot different than going out there from a heart of affection and initiating it yourself and going out and greeting somebody. And I always felt like a visitor. I was put on the spot whenever that happens. So I would say that's not part of our worship. But on the other time, but I would also say, but it's part of our fellowship together in Christ. And we need to grow in this particular area of one another's. And the last point I want to make is this, is that, you know, we do have a greeter, or greeters, plural, that meet people at the two doors of the church. And it's on a rotational basis. And most of you probably in this room have perhaps served at one time or another as a greeter. And the question is, and does that mean that we have delegated our responsibility to greet one another to them? After all, they're doing the greeting for me vicariously. And the answer to that is no. I mean, they're there, they're that warm welcome when somebody comes in. And by the way, if you're a greeter, shake a hand, give a hug to where it's appropriate. Welcome people warmly as they come into the church. But, don't just say, here's a bulletin and then let them walk by, but greet them. Greet them. But on the other hand, they're not doing that in our place. It's our responsibility as a congregation to lovingly greet one another and to greet all of each other that God brings our way, because we're brothers and sisters in Christ. We're part of His, we're co-elect in Christ. So here's a challenge for us. Think about applying it in your Christian life, how you might grow in this area, how you might in faith step out of your comfort level. Don't just greet your family that's here at the church. Don't just greet your friends that are here at the church, but greet the fellowship, the body of Christ that God brings, and especially those who aren't being greeted by others. Let's pray. So, Father, we close asking You, Lord, if You would cause us to grow in our mutual love for one another. Father, give us a true, heartfelt spirit conviction of love and affection, Lord, for brothers and sisters in Christ. I pray, Lord, that we would greet each other in a way that would express that affection. And Lord, even though we don't have a holy kiss in our culture, we do have ways that we can reach out, embrace a hand and give a hug and express our mutual devotion for each other. Lord, help us to grow in this area. And may it strengthen us, Lord, as a church, and strengthen our love and encourage all of us in Christ. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.